Wow. Open the hall of the jury.
I know. Okay, she's in.
She's in awesome.
They're being treated, and she's found now.
She's found.
My sister-in-law.
Will it be anybody there?
No, well, that's the bottom of it. She's a retired nurse.
So we don't want to know what she's doing.
Probably she knows who to ask. There you go.
Yeah, because she had to go to a function at the church, and she says, "I'm gonna stop by the hospital when, and on my way, I will find her."
When the time she was charged nurse in the neonatal unit for 20-something years. You don't wanna mess with her.
On every shift at every hospital, there is one RN who knows what's going on. Yeah, usually. Even, I don't care how many floors in the apartment, there's usually one.
Right here.
Been there.
Richard, you can start whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, I have exactly 2 o'clock on my retirement watch, so we'll call the meeting to order. Pledge of allegiance. Pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Danielle.
Larry.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard.
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
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 We did hand you guys an updated version of our handbook that wasn't in the meeting packet, so it is just nothing new. It's just a little bit different information.
Okay. All right. Does anybody need to declare any potential conflicts of interest?
No.
No.
All right. And entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to
go ahead.
Approve the agenda. Yes, as stated.
Second it.
So we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to the meeting minutes from previous meetings.
I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of February, November 4th, 2022. Regular commission meeting, Wednesday, November 16th, 2022. Special commission meeting, Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, as written.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. I have no public comments in front of me. Do we have any online that you're aware of?
I did not receive any.
Okay. That brings us to the management reports, beginning with safety, security, and environmental.
Court staff was briefed on updates to the stormwater pollution control plan. We recorded 3 incidences that happened in the month of November. A vessel's line snapped, hitting this neighbor's vessel. The insurance is taking care of that. And then an individual drove a vehicle on the South Chetco jetty. Emergency services removed the individual and the vehicle. 4 ACEs and the court recorded 37 security issues for the month of November, bringing the year total to 1,501. Monthly inspections were completed for the stormwater pollution control plan, and stormwater testing was completed during the recent storms. This is our 3rd of 4th testing. And that is all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Moves us to the harbor master report.
Okay, and the RV park, small repairs throughout the park are ongoing. Staff has collected the old front row pedestals and put them in storage so that they may be used for parts in the back row sites. One dumpster was removed for the winter, and staff has started installing the new Wi-Fi system as the RV park project continues. As Danielle said, there was one vehicle that drove through the fence at dry camp and out onto the jetty. Porters received almost all of our blocks for the RV park fence dividers. Staff have been staining the boards that are going in between And they'll be placed as soon as the concrete starts getting placed at the on each site. Seaworthy, oh, I missed the whole part. RV park occupancy was 8%, down from 13%. And then marina staff was, staff completed the first of two water tests. All docks were walked before and after rain events. The staff is looking for any broken ropes, broken or loose ropes, cleats, waterline breaks, you know, debris in the water. They also identify bolts and piling hoops that are loose during storage surges in both basins. Port impounded a recreational vessel on A dock and terminated the vessel for not renewing and no payment. Seaworthy inspections are ongoing. Three vessels are scheduled for reinspection in December and two more are being scheduled for January. Vessels that have been scheduled for reinspection have demonstrated a desire to make the needed repairs in a reasonable time frame. If the work that they are doing can be done safely and in a timely manner, I will work with the owners to get them into compliance. Boat launches, got 90 boat launches, which was up 20 from last year. We did surpass from 2019 to date on the most launches so far in a year, 4,908. So that's good to see that our launch ramp is still, people are still going fishing. Telehandler jobs, the port completed 9, bringing the total to 51 for the year. Travel lift haul out 6, and we're at 69 for the year. Commercial receiving dock, the public hoist, staff inspected and greased the public hoist, crab pot slings, and a rated dump bucket were purchased for extra equipment, unloading and loading gear or product. Pacific Seafood and small boat owners have inquired about using the hoist for crab season. For the use of the public hoist, appointments must be made at the front office or with the harbor master. Hallmark Seafood, visual inspections of the dock surface and support structure. No evidence of new failures. Staff will continue to monitor throughout the season and report of any changes. All hoists are operational on that dock. Quarantine Seafood, seawall. The seawall bumper was resecured. Sandbags and water control measures were put out for the winter months to help improve water quality. Dock hoists are operational. Pacific Seafood, hoists and docks are all operational. The north dock that is closest to A dock is showing signs of failure in the support structures due to rot. We will continue to monitor the supports and surface and report any major changes. Commercial retail buildings, no changes to report of the boatyard warehouse structure. Cleanup and grading was completed by Fiber Arc Construction to the backside of the warehouse. Sheriff's office reported a small leak in their building. Staff went up on the roof and found a loose shingle that had moss buildup underneath it. This was allowing the wind to blow up underneath and leak inside. After we have some better weather, we'll be removing the moss and cleaning the gutters. On the next page, maintenance crew completed 81 work orders for the month of November. Staff made upgrades to the gates that were installed to the commercial bathroom. Someone pried off the locking mechanism on the men's side to gain entry to the showers. With the help of John's portable welding, we fabricated angle iron to cover all hinges and locking points. No new reports of on the bathroom currently. All hydraulic fittings on the travel lift have been taped to protect against corrosion. Retail lighting timer was adjusted for daylight savings time, and two wax rings on the kite field urinals were replaced. Office staff, I've attached the office staff task completed. I'm going to have them continue documenting all the completed things that they achieved during the month. And following our hiring policy, the port has created a job description and placed an ad on our website and newspaper for an office manager. The task will fall in line with the director of finance position. We hope to have this position filled by January 2nd. and attached are the work orders, office completed work, and just backup documentation on HOPS and others. Any questions? Yes.
Are impounded a recreational vehicle, recreational vessel? Who was it and what are we doing with it?
It's currently Nick Ryder, and he it was failure to renew a mortgage agreement or pay, so we sent multiple letters. We pull it out. We start a pre-seizure notice. Then we seize the boat, and then they have 90 days to claim what they have, and if they don't, then we are able to dispose of the vessel, and then those costs incurred will be sent to him, and then it'll go to collections at that point.
Is he responsible at all or any of that?
I do.
No. Is it on a trailer?
No.
That's that 32 or 34 foot cost though, huh? Yeah.
The one that's put down here with the rotted tarp all over.
Correct.
No, no.
No, he's getting inspected on Friday.
It was there alongside Tiger's Charters. It's a nice boat. They just let it sit.
It was
there.
One that was good bought. Day. It was trailered here, pulled off a trailer, put in the water, and the trailer didn't come with the boat. Apparently.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Financial cover.
All right. This month's side deficit in all general fund programs except in the commercial retail. The beachfront RV park reservations continue to decrease, partly from the time of year and partly due to construction in progress. The time of year has also affected the fuel dock and marina moorage and storage revenue. On a positive note, the port received 95.4% of the budgeted current property tax receipts in the amount of $238,456. The month of November is usually when the bulk of our tax receipts are received, but will continue throughout the fiscal year. The port also received sale proceeds in the amount of $174,236. This money was received and promptly transferred into our reserve fund to be used for matching funds in reference to the EPA community grant for the wastewater treatment plant. Using the port construction fund, a payment of $108,386 was issued to McLennan Excavation per contract for the RV Park Improvement Project. End of the month, unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $633,110. Restricted cash and equivalents totaled $695,765, with a total checking and savings at $1,328,875. Total revenue from all funds were $615,614. Total expenses were $469,692. The net income for November was $146,922. Is there any questions?
I have one. I'm just curious. You may not be able to answer this, but I noted that our county tax receipts were less than what we anticipated. Shouldn't we know what that is on an annual basis? Or is there a reason we only got 95% of what we anticipated?
Some people don't pay their taxes.
They haven't collected at all.
Oh, so that's the script. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That explains.
Or they haven't paid them, you know, we haven't, that money hasn't been brought in yet.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. That brings us to the action item.
I make a motion to approve the safety, security, environmental report, harbor master report, financial report of November 2022.
Okay. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Kenneth?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That now brings us to the action items, starting with action item A, the port manager agreement.
Okay, so our counsel, James, drafted this employment agreement. It's good for 1 year, and I have reviewed it, and I have signed it. So asking to approve this, and the one-year contract will start today.
Okay.
I'm going to close the bench.
Good. So just to make sure.
The effective date will actually start at December 1st, is when the agreement.
Make sure we're clear on what this says. There's special language in here that discusses the potential, if you want to vacate port manager position, that you'll go back to the harbor master position. I'm sure that's included in here, so that's all the, really the biggest single element that's different than the normal
yeah.
agreement that I can see.
And that position will not be filled.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the port manager agreement between the Port of Brookings Harbor and Travis Webster for a term of 1 year.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. You want me to sign this copy or do you have another copy?
I have copy.
And that takes us to action item B, the port manager work program.
Okay. So, along with my agreement, I said that I would be putting together a work plan. It was supposed to be for an entire year. This one will reflect basically 6 months. That's to allow for changes for budgets and what happens in our next fiscal year. So has everybody had a chance to review this and look at it? I feel like there's a lot of training, and basically the projects that we currently have open are my major goals to see through and get them pushed down the road. We will be hiring some new staff, so it will be a lot of training and getting new staff. Even from when I wrote this, we've had more staff changes that are coming our way, so I think everything's still going to fall in line with this. But the port will have some restructuring of staff and new employees to train to get on board, so it will take a little bit of time.
I think your plan is really very aggressive. Looks good.
Thank you.
So, just a question, would you propose to do this annually, do a work program like this?
I think it's very beneficial for everyone, for all of us to look at it, see what the manager has planned, and give everybody else an opportunity to weigh in on what's happening. I think it's an easy enough thing to put together for a year and see where it's going. This one's for 6 months, so I would imagine one of these would probably be most beneficial right around our budget, when our budget gets kicked off. So I'll put together another one in 6 months. That'll kind of be a work plan to reflect our budget.
I know in my former life, I had to do an annual work program, and I found it a really valuable planning tool for me to help me think about how my year would lay out and what my priorities would be, you know, going through the whole process. And that's and it's also a pretty good opportunity to allow you to communicate with us. This is what I intend to do. And I think your focus on getting the current projects underway and getting the financial officer thing set are going to be real high priorities. We've got to get all this done. We can't, you know, heaven knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't ask that question anymore, but.
Well, then keep us moving forward. That's what we want to do and get the things we got. Yeah.
Two questions. Milestone in respect to our ADV. What's ADV?
Abandoned derelict vessels.
And then you said port staff needs new tools. Is there anything that physical tools, like computer tools?
No, just tools as far as training, guidance, whatever might come their way that helps them, you know, succeed at their, what they're doing. Not necessarily physical tools.
I make a motion to approve Port Manager Work Program.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That's an item C, the El Cazadores parking area.
Okay, so we've talked about this quite a bit. Currently, right now, the owners of El Cazadores are under the same agreement, paying the same price as what was under the old lease. We've looked at leasing, and we've looked at selling. We have an appraisal report. I'm coming to you guys now to make a decision if we're going to lease it or if we're going to pursue selling it.
Have you had any discussions with them about purchasing?
They have made inquiries about if we would be interested in purchasing it. And I said that that would be left to the board. So I haven't really responded, but they have showed interest in purchasing.
At this price? Are they aware of this price?
I have not shown them. I really wanted to get this ironed out with you guys so we don't, you know, give our hand too early.
And if we go ahead and continue to lease, you're asking for our approval of the $1,275, or is that kind of a already given, or what was?
Well, that's our given rate. Okay. Yes, that's based upon our current rates. I think it's at 34 cents a square foot, which would bring the total to $1,275 a month. I've given you what we have based upon our current rates. If you guys want to make any changes or alterations to that, that's what we're here to discuss.
I have three questions, whenever.
Go ahead.
Was there a current lease in effect?
It was on a month-to-month from when Ken Burnett still owned it. So right now, there is no current lease at all.
When he owned it, was there a current lease? And did he have any CPUI?
There was no CPI increases in that.
And what do we charge for the parking lot in front of the Catalyst?
I would have to look at it. I'm pretty sure that they are charged the 34 cents a square foot for their parking in front of there, but I don't know that for sure. I would have to look and see exactly what they have down
for
that.
Well, just for the record, I'm opposed to selling the property.
I'm not. And I'll tell you why. I'm pretty certain that, given the history of this property, that parking lot is a result of a survey error at some point.
I don't
believe you can build a building with no setback on the property line. So right now we have this, through nobody's fault, we have a situation where the owners of that building cannot legally step out the back door of the building unless you tell them they can. For the perspective of the community and the future of that place, my personal view is we should sell them that parking lot and make that building whole, so at least that business is complete. And they don't have to keep coming to us and saying, well, we want to be able to use that parking lot. What do we have to do to do that? I'm not anxious to sell for property, but that piece right there, as I said at one of the other meetings, that's nothing we're going to ever use. It doesn't make sense to me to have this situation exist here. So I would recommend we sell it.
Okay.
that's my view.
So Richard, if we don't, it's going to be the same thing that was it with Brigetti's.
Yeah, I agree with Richard.
Well, I, you know, I don't know that, but I mean.
Well, if they try to sell it for the whole parcel, yeah, I mean, what are they going to do?
You're right about that.
Well, it's very surprising the purchase that they did that it didn't come up.
Correct, yeah.
If that building's ever abandoned, we're still going to be sitting there with a piece of property we're not going to use. I suppose you could pack crap off on it or something, but I don't know that it, that close to that building doesn't make any sense. So that's kind of my rationale for why I would want to dispose of that. I think it's in the best interest of the port and the best interest of the community to do that and make that business as whole as we can.
In regards to your comment about property setbacks and stuff, I'll tell you right now that back about the time that building was built, no reflection on the port. And even within the last 20 years, the county does not inspect property line setbacks. They will leave it to the property owner. I know of two properties currently that the county, one was in the last 20 years and one was even 40 years ago, they did not give a crap about how close you built to the property lines and said to the property owners, well, we trusted that your neighbors built it, the setback. So, and it's no reflection on the port. I'm not saying what the port's doing, but I wouldn't bet that when they built the building, they didn't care about the setback, Richard.
Well, when I built my house 20 years ago, I had to submit a plot plan to the county that showed the property lines.
I understand that.
Showed where my house would be, and I had to actually designate on there the distance between wherever the property was and the property line.
I understand that, and I'm talking about a piece of property that was a shop that was built next to my mom's house that in the eaves actually overhung within the last 20 years her property line, and when it came to the county, they went, we trust where the property owners built their landline. They didn't give a crap to come out and double-check to make sure that building met the setback requirements, even though the plan specified.
Well,
that's my point.
Irrespective of that, we have now before us a situation that we've got to deal with and figure out a solution. So
I have two comments. In my previous career, kind of what I, one of the things I dealt with, and you can build buildings, homes, whatever, can share a common wall. So you're a lot. That's done all the time. So that is an option. Zero lot line. The other thing is, if we were to sell it, if anybody bought it, we could designate an easement along their back door, whatever size we want, so they can come out their door, walk back and forth. We're going to lose some square footage out in the sale, but, and I can see both sides of it. But zero lot line is possible. Someone could build there. You can share a wall, but we can designate an easement. But just information.
I agree with you, Richard. I think we should just sell it to them and make the port's life simpler. It's actually worthless to us until this week.
We never used it.
Yeah. Travis, do you see any use for it, like for crab pot storage, boat storage, waste storage from the water treatment? Is there any? I mean, it's just going to be storage, so. But
you know, I do tend to lean with Ken on selling port property, but this in particular one for how close the building is. You know, we've gone through our strategic business plan, you know, a lot. That portion of that land is not incorporated with any of what we have for future plans. So, you know, it has no, I mean, that's a parking lot for that business is what it's historically been. So it does make sense to keep it that way if they choose to buy it.
Keep in mind, anything we want to do with that property is going to be subject to that being a restaurant and affecting the private industry. So we're definitely not going to be stacking crab pots right next to somebody's restaurant. So it's really, we're in a situation where there's not much we can do. I suppose you could run a couple of boats back there, but that's probably all that would fly.
And it would, yeah, it would require us putting in infrastructure to get to that from our side, you know, which doesn't exist either.
Okay. Any more discussion? Call the question.
Okay, Okay, well, I'm going to have a recommended motion of option number two, motion to approve allowing the court manager to enter into negotiations with legal counsel and start a draft purchase sale agreement for the sale of the sports property at the Castle Authority's parking area.
I second it.
I just, do we need to put in there the appraised?
We'll come back after I make a.
Okay.
If it's approved, a purchase sale agreement will reflect where we go forward. You guys will approve that later.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. Danielle?
Who seconded it?
I did.
Sorry about that. Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yep. Okay, that brings us to D, the boatyard shop plan.
Okay, so this was one thing I know when Terry was here that was left off, kind of put on a back burner. So I wanted to use this opportunity to see if we were going to still proceed forward with this and start creating an actual plan that if it's found that we don't have the funding, that at least we'll have plans and some sort of engineer drawings to start going after grants and other funding opportunities that might be out there. The funding opportunities that might come up are going to be really difficult for us to move forward if we don't at least have a plan set in place. So I have, what I have in here, I proposed, we were looking at a steel building, which the cost, you know, from what we came out were between $180 and $185 a square foot, over $2 million for the building we want. I'm proposing that we look into proposals from engineering firms to do a stick-built building, a pole barn, which should drop the price dramatically, and just kind of go through the exercise that we went through before, but start getting numbers based upon a stick-built building and see what that price looks like and kind of build it up from there.
Any idea on cost of having an engineer architect look at it again and draw up plans and proposals?
Well, that's what the first thing that I'll go out and do is contact architects and engineering firms, see what their hourly rate is and what get an estimated cost. We would look at those costs. Depending on how the number is, I would, you know, we'd have to come back and discuss to approve what the procurements say. And see what their proposals are for doing it. It's kind of taking it slower. It's going to take us, we're going to slow down, we're going to go through it slow, find the people, and just incrementally get ourselves there. With the work plan that I made and where we're at right now, I don't want to get ourselves into another brand new project right now when we have so many open projects, but I think this would be something that we can work towards so we have some actual plans, maybe an engineering firm in our hands in the next 6 to 8 months and see what produces from there. Well, the current building and boatyard shop is still, there's no changes to report, so it's not getting worse.
And it'll give you an idea of what type of funding that you're going to be having to look for.
Any discussion we're going to have about this is going to have to, at some point, we're going to have a plan.
Right.
So that we can get estimates and do the kind of things that we would have to do. So I don't know that it makes sense to keep delaying this. Unless we just say, okay, we're just going to abandon this whole notion and let that one go until we either fix it or it falls down.
Yeah, or we just table it again, continue to monitor it, and bring it up again in 6 months and see if we're ready to start from there. But it was left out for so long with time we talk about where we want to go with it.
All this commits us to is having a design. Doesn't commit us to doing anything further, and that's an expenditure of funds, I understand. But at some juncture here, I think we would be well served to at least have a design. in mind, so that, because, you know, I keep looking at the waste treatment plant, and that's literally like that got dropped out of the sky on it. The situation happened. We were in the right place at the right time to be able to say yes. And, you know, I would rather have this sitting there kind of shovel ready and have, and if something falls on us, fine. Because I don't think, well, I don't even know what to think about what Congress is going to do next year. Maybe nothing, but, you know, we didn't see all this infrastructure and COVID money coming, so I'd like to be in a position to be able to say, or if the state comes up with some economic development, I mean, to me, that building down there would represent a significant economic development mm-hmm. for Curry County. Yeah. Just having the places to rent to support fishing businesses or whatever it is, I think we would be eligible for a lot of that kind of stuff when it comes down the road. But in order to do that, I think we would be better off to have something in our hands.
We need a plan.
Well, I got a negative comment to make. I just, that way today, I guess. Nothing we've done is on time or on budget since I've been here. We are looking at going into the FEMA projects that we have. We will get a response from Jack on that pretty quick as to possible funding or what the costs are. We've got a wastewater treatment plant we haven't even dealt with yet. I am not in favor of spending a dime on that building for several months in any way, shape, or form until we know what we're getting into on the rest of this stuff. Plus, we also owe $5 million that, you know, that's coming up in 2030. To go out, the original concept on this building was it was going to cost, with all the other buildings, $1,200,000, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. The last presentation we had by you, Travis, was we're going to borrow $1 million and take $250,000 out of contingency to pay for this building, and that the rent from the additional office space would pay for the loan. If you want me to get into what the costs for the loan for 4% or 6% on $20,000 or on $1 million, I've got all that right here. But I don't think we can afford to step into this building right now. I mean, I think that would be a waste of money. Yes, we may need the building, but down the road, we don't need to spend money on it for the next few months until we get a better handle on what the rest of this stuff is going to have or cost us, my opinion.
Just to clarify again, you're just asking for permission to go out and see what it would cost us to get plans drawn. You're not going to spend any money.
I want to start procuring and seeing who can provide us costs for a stick-built building based upon the last thing that we left on.
So this is going to be phone calls to people
talking,
emails?
Phone calls, procurements, and gathering information for us to have. It's not by
not
any means committing us to anything, any cost, any plans, but it's just getting the ball rolling again with finding available engineers and architects that would be interested in being able to do this.
And can you do that without an actual building plan?
Well, that's why I said that I think this is enough for them to have a basic idea of what we're looking at and kind of just a guide. I mean, it, of course, once that's why when they give us a number, it'll be an estimated cost. It's going to depend on what more as you get into it, but just gaining an idea.
So they're not going to be doing a lot of drawings?
There will be no drawings. There will be no contracts, no
sounds
cost.
Sounds to me like what we're doing is we're looking to see if people are interested in bidding on this job.
Okay.
The design part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all I want, like I said, I want this to go slow. I want this to happen at a reasonable pace. By no means am I trying to say we're going to find it, we're going to get a loan, and we're going to start building it this summer. I don't want to do that. But as we said before, I think getting an idea of, you know, restructuring a cost, all the costs and everything that we looked at before were based upon a steel building. which is significantly more. I think this will be significantly less, and just see what other opportunities are out there for it.
Okay.
I have a suspicion that if we take the next step and we hire an engineering firm and we sit down with them and talk to them about what we're going to use this building for, that there probably will be some suggestions from them that we haven't even thought of.
Yeah,
you guys, you know, we're going to do this. You might want to consider this or this. Or so my whole point in this thing is that at some point, we got to lay the egg. We'll cook it when we want to, but we got to at least have an egg out there to start with. Sorry.
Well, I understand that.
Like I said,
we got to get past that RV part because
yeah. Or we
things
just
keep changing daily.
Table this again until later. That's an option. Like I said, that building is not going anywhere.
Right.
It's not falling down. It has shown no major future signs of falling down. So it's not out of the question just to leave this alone. This has been left on the table from 5 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I figured it was due time that we don't just forget about it and at least keep a plan going to keep it in sight.
Is this going to be real time consuming for you?
That's why I want to take it slow, because I don't have
a
lot
just
of time. Making phone calls, seeking proposals, no, it's not time consuming, and that's just me taking the time when I have it to make these phone calls, and it gives me another project that I can just have going on, you know, on the side and just keep working towards something. But if we don't want to even look at what these costs are right now, then we'll table it for till later. But I just need a decision if we want to keep going down this road or if we want to stop and wait.
Well, I'd be curious to see how many people are out there that would be willing to do this. And that's all we're finding out at this point, pretty much.
Right. So
okay.
There's no cost to us. Except his time.
Just my time.
Okay.
May I make one suggestion to you, Travis?
Yes, sir.
And looking at your plans, you have a separate building for the storage of the travel lift. I would expand where you're currently, where it is on that map, to put it against your building. But that way it reduces some cost, and it makes it easier for you to come out around the end of that pad where the traveler currently is and make the turn for the boats.
Yeah, and I guess thank you for bringing that up. So it's what I pulled this off from our last meeting packet that we had.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we're going to be focusing on right now is the shop building. I'm not going to be trying to go down the traveler building or any of these other buildings down front. I just, the only thing I'll be looking at is the shop building right now.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Let's resolve it.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Motion to approve port manager to seek proposal for designer engineer to prepare construction drawings for new wood pole barn style boat yard building and approve engineering estimate for project.
I second it.
You just said you want to include construction drawings?
No, seek proposals. That's all. And to seek proposals, but in those proposals, I would like to know what the construction drawings are. I want them to give me as much information as they can in this, but it will be strictly seeking proposals.
Okay. Got it.
Zero cost at this time.
At this time.
Okay. All right. Further? Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yeah.
Richard?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that brings us to item E, resolution 2022-10, retaining
Rick,
property.
Is this my pile or yours?
This is mine. Sorry.
Well, I got one of mine in it, so.
Flop into the same pile.
This is a resolution that directs that the proceeds of the sale of the property across the street will be put in the reserve fund as match for the EPA grant. Correct?
Yep. And that if the money is not spent on that, we will be paying that to IFA as part of our agreement.
I think.
Okay.
Will there be a problem using it for match? I don't think.
It's really going to depend on what we come up with for grants or waivers for matching funds for the wastewater treatment plant. If we can come up with a grant or a waiver of that matching funds. Great for us. We'll have the matching funds, and then we will we will submit this money, 80% of this cost, to IFA.
Is there a time frame that we have to spend it in?
No, it'll be the time frame will be the duration of the project for the wastewater treatment. Mm-hmm. Once that project is closed and done is when we will need to meet our obligations on this, of either being spent or reimbursing that.
Right.
There's not an actual contract agreement. You know, they wrote us an understanding that we could use it, and if and when we do or don't, we'll log it, we'll send it to them, and we'll show them what we're spending it on.
Right.
This resolution just codifies the gift, because this is a gift from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this also, you know, binds us to this agreement so that they've got a clear paper trail that says, we told you to do this, and you said you're going to do it. So
this commission to this date has never approved anything on the wastewater treatment plant except engineering. Is that correct?
The commission approved nothing but engineering on the wastewater treatment plant?
Correct.
No.
You guys have approved a lot.
The building.
Yeah, we've approved the building down here. But the site is what we approved. We haven't approved funds for the wastewater treatment plant from this commission.
We agreed to accept the federal grant. Mm-hmm. We've entered into formal proposals with DeFazio and EPA that said, yeah, that money's ours, we're going to spend it on a building. What we haven't done is finish the design, but we're pretty far down the road now. I mean,
but we haven't committed to approve the match fund.
We've got a commitment from Business Oregon on. Is this the one Business Oregon's on? They're on the other.
No, when we signed this EPA contract and we submit it, we are also saying that we accepted that money, that we were going to provide matching funds for the project. It goes hand in hand. I mean, we can't accept it and say we're not going to pay for that. But that's why we are having Jack explore other grants and a possible waiver. You know, there's a lot of steps we got to come up with before we know. We're exploring the opportunities of us having the matching funds completely paid for first.
When are we going to talk about a business plan for this wastewater treatment plant that has gone from a human waste plant to a fish only, or shellfish only?
Well, the fish processing plant, that's done. It will not be waste, human waste whatsoever.
Okay.
We've already settled on that.
So when are we going to talk about a business plan, how this is going
to
operate?
The time to do the business plan is when we have all the construction pieces lined up, we've got the funding secure, we've got drawings ready to go, and we're out to bid. Then we sit down and have an operations meeting where we talk about operating the plant, what we're going to charge, how we're going to operate it at that time.
Yeah.
Until DEQ approves our permit, you know, what everything Jack submitted, DEQ relooks at it, they decide if it's going to, you know, on their end, if it's going to work, there still can be things that they come back to us that they want to change. So until we get our permit finalized and done, and which solidifies the equipment we're going to be using, then we can have a better idea of how that's going to operate. But to say we know how, I don't know how it's going to operate yet. Completely without knowing what the equipment are. We don't know what the maintenance of those pieces of equipment are until we know what those pieces of equipment actually are. I mean, Jack can give us estimates, you know, but as far as actual hard numbers of what our costs are yet, we just don't know yet. Absolutely. Anything?
Again, that question, by the way, is absolutely well conceived. That's absolutely important. But in fact, fortunately, we don't have to require ourselves to do a management plan. The Department of Environmental Quality, in order to finally give us a permit, will require an O&M management manual, a plan that has everything in it. I mean, they're not going to approve it without it. So the question is absolutely right to ask. But fortunately, it's one of those things that's being done in the process of the permit. we have to produce an audit manual before they'll say you can start this thing up. So.
But that won't include the discussion with us about how we're going to operate it. I mean,
you mean like who and that kind of thing?
The who.
No.
All those sorts of things. And that's what I think we're looking at here is how, you know, once this thing is built, who's going to run it? Who's going to maintain it? What are we going to charge to use it? What do we anticipate the revenue will be and the expenses so that we can get the budget set up?
Well, I misunderstood that, Ken. But I will tell you that in order to develop that plan, anyway, you still have to have an O&M manual because you're going to know what the responsibilities are. It's going to help you size up exactly what's the best strategy and approach in your management plan anyway. Anyway, you can't do that until you've got the equipment lined out, which we do, but we got to go through the DEQ process instead of saying, hey, what about this? What about that? That kind of thing. And there's some back and forth. We're right in the middle of right now.
Yeah, so we're probably borrowing from your future presentation that's coming up here. So.
Well, I'm going to try to make this one short, by the way.
Okay. all right, so let's get back focused on 2022-10, which is just us committing to putting this in a reserve fund for one use and one use only.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion. Motion to approve resolution 2022-10 concerning the proceeds from the sale of the property between Lower Harbor Road and Shopping Center Avenue, Brookings, Oregon.
I second it.
Hey, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to the resolution 2022-11, the employee handbook.
All right, so you guys got the added language to the one that we originally put out. We removed it because the Port of Brookings does not have it, but it was recommended that we keep the language in there stating that the port does not offer the family leave and OPLA, yeah, family leave and Oregon family leave. All right, so the other packet that we gave you, we just put it back in there. So this is for the Oregon paid leave program. This is a deduction that will come from all employees in the state. We chose to go with the state plan. You are able to make your own plans, but we thought it'd be easier that we adopt the state plan, and any employees that would like to apply for this can start applying for it on September 3rd, 2023, and that will be done through the state of Oregon.
So the port is or is not, or each employee can choose to opt in or out of it?
No, this is a requirement for all employees that every employee will have a deduction from their paycheck that everyone pays into, and the benefits won't start until September 3rd. So they're going to start taking them out of our checks to build the account. And I know it's after a certain dollar amount, kind of like workman's or unemployment, that once you pay so much into it, the employee has that you won't have to, but I think it's 5 or 6 or 7 years, and it's dependent on how much you're contributing. So this is statewide. Every district, every employer is going to do the same thing.
Is this like other state deductions where they match it? Does the state match the employee's contribution?
No.
Well, we don't have a choice.
This is a non-negotiable item. This is just an employee handbook update.
Right. So, see, this is like a, we would either have to do that or do it with the state.
Yeah, we would have to adopt and make our own plan that would be an equivalent to it, mm-hmm. or adopt the state. And
stays easier.
It's a lot easier at this point to incorporate what they have.
You bet.
Okay. And this is for handbook 2023, correct, Travis?
This is for, yeah, for our handbook, yes.
Okay. I make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-11, Port of Brookings Harbor Employee Handbook for 2023.
Second.
Correct.
It really does. Our handbook, it keeps going. We just, it's a living document. We just add to it. So it's just the employee handbook update of 2022.
All right, 22.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action item G, the capital improvement plan approval. So if I recall from our previous discussion, this is a an updated action plan, and you've changed the priorities somewhat from what we had before.
Yeah, and you can see we left the last time this was updated was in 2019. You can see where those projects ranked. The next column over on 2022 is where I re-ranked them. A lot of the re-ranking was based upon current funding opportunities that we have and projects we have going. I have them high up on the list so that so we'll start seeing things fall off it. You'll see on the back page of that, or the third page, is where we're keeping the projects near completed or projects completed. As they fall off, they will keep falling in line here to show completion. Cool. And then the top three there that I have, these top three we were asked by Business Oregon to provide our top three capital improvement projects that we have that Business Oregon is going to start helping apply for bigger federal grants and grouping poor projects together to give us a better chance. They'll help do the grant writing and create the funding so then they can give it to other ports. So if we had, we had boardwalk expansion and replacement, if there is three or four other ports that had the same related damage to that the state would start filling out federal grants for these ports and group all of our projects together, and then it's helping the ports put us in a better chance for federal funding for the harder grants to get. Very good for us.
So when I look at this list under capital improvement plan, it looks to me like if we complete these projects, we're going to knock 9 of the top 10 out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a significant chunk.
It's a big chunk. There's a lot more left. This list can go on for quite a while. But as we get those knocked off, it's going to give us a great opportunity to relook at new projects and things that, are farther down the list and move them up and keep moving on.
Well, actually, we're going to get 10 because the RV park expansion is on here too, and I didn't include that. So that's a pretty big whack.
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve updated capital improvement plan and submit the top three priorities to Business Oregon.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item H, the McLennan excavation payment request number 4.
Okay, so this is just in line with progress payments with our RV park project. This one's in the amount of $39,963. Supporting documents with deductions and project cost left, $393,182 left. So it's just another progress payment.
Okay.
Just a general question. Why does the contractor request payment through Crowe and Clay. Are they our contact person?
They are our oversight. Yes. So if
like project manager?
And they'll have to approve, you know, or they'll make sure the deductions are right, the paperwork's right. We have to accept, when we get bills, like we also have to have the certified payroll for Bowling. So all those things are checked
by
Crowe, Clay, and Kim before we can actually write that check.
I'll make a motion to approve McLennan Excavation Progress Payment Number 4 for $39,963.02 for work performed October 29th, 2022 through November 30th, 2022 per the contract.
I second it. Here we have a motion and second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item I, Gerald Burns Financial Consultant Agreement Amendment.
So Mr. Burns is our financial consultant. He's been financial consultant for a couple years at least now. Very helpful to Kim, the director of finance, will be a very big asset for the new hire for that position. And that change on here, the amendment, was the hourly rate. We were paying $100 per hour. I know back in 2021, that fiscal year, it was at $100 an hour, and he's now upping that rate to $120 an hour. So that's really what the amendment is reflecting, is the rate change. Okay. And the continuous, and an extension for one additional year. Sorry. That's pretty important too.
And this is kind of new to me, I guess, but when did CPA, PA starting to charge a retainer? I mean, they've always charged the court a retainer to be on staff, to be ready for us to, is that normal, common?
Is it like an attorney?
Well, I know attorneys, but they're not attorneys. I mean, just curious. I'm not unfamiliar to have them on retainer.
It makes it to where when we call, they answer and they help us now.
If we didn't have them on retainer, we'd be on a
waiting list
as available situation. In other words, we'd be a new client every time we call and said, hey, can you help us with this? So the retainer helps to give us a place in line that's fairly firm.
Okay.
And that's why you do the same thing with attorneys, because you don't want to have to wait.
Okay. Yeah, I just was never seen it before. So
it was actually a good question, Eric. So
it was new to me. I've never seen it before. I paid attorneys, a lot of attorneys.
Yeah,
I
mean, how do you bill for?
It depends. It really depends. The audit, you know, was many hours. I think it was around $6,500 for our audit. You know, our slower month to month, you know, it could be 10 hours, 15 okay. hours, you know, it really just depends on the project and what we're working on. Yeah. Right now, I mean, Kim is very great at what she does, which doesn't require as many phone calls right now. I know he's been a valuable asset to her in the previous years, but as that person continues moving on and getting better, that hourly rate is down. But, he knows our system. He knows our finances very, very well, and it's a very valuable.
Following the changing laws and everything too. Following the changing laws and agreements and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. They are who we go to for help.
Okay. I make a motion to approve amendment number 2 with the financial consultant Gerald Burns for one additional year.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah. Now we come to the one that's sticking in my craw. Big time. Big, big, big time. This is the Coos Curry Electric Service upgrade.
Yes. So I had this contract dropped off last week. We need to upgrade one of our green transformer boxes that's providing power to our new front row sites. The current box we have there is not big enough to support the power that we're taking to it. So Coos Curry has sent us an agreement to upgrade that box. We're paying the difference from what the old box was to the new box we pay, the difference in between, which is $11,271.54. I did have a talk with Walt and I did have a talk with Coclay about this. Why we're seeing this, this is the second one that we've seen that's added to one major change order that we've had to already pay for. And I asked why this is happening. Coos Curry stated that and through our process that they were never asked what these costs were going to be. So that's why the cost was never provided to them. And throughout the permits, or the drawings, permitting stages, it was never brought up or shown that these upgrades were going to have to be made. Coos Curry Electric decides when these service upgrades have to be made. In the future, this will be one of the things we make sure we have included in this, but as far, I would have assumed that this was in our drawings, and it wasn't. So
why?
Where we're at currently right now, we don't have a choice. We really don't have a choice. We need to pay it. We need to do it. There is, you know, there always is the possibility of litigation or going back to engineers or whoever and trying to unearth this. It's going to cost us a lot of money to chase it. This is a legitimate charge. I mean, it is a fact of what it is. The unfortunate part is it wasn't included with our original bid, and we're seeing these costs in the middle of our project, which is unfortunate and something that I'm going to live and learn about in the future of any of our projects, and something that we'll have to pay attention to make sure these prices are included in any future projects.
Is this going to delay the opening?
This in particular thing, no.
Well, speaking for myself, this will better inform me when we enter into agreements with somebody to do design work on an RV park.
Yes.
Because this added $44,000 to this job, as I remember. And
it should have been caught somewhere.
I can understand that this had to be done, but finding out about it the day you're breaking ground on the project the first time, that's not the time to find out about this. Same thing here. They knew what kind of lines they were going to run over there. They knew what kind of power needs there were going to be. That's the time, in my view, Coos Curry said, oh, yeah, and by the way, we've got to put in a new box.
I 100% agree that Coos Curry should have brought these costs up at some point. I mean, Coclay should have caught it as well.
Thank you.
You know, as far as with our project, it should have been caught. It should have been caught multiple times. But Coos Curry also has, you know, the original one. We had everything approved, and they said that they needed to balance their load better, and that's what needed to happen. Pretty bold to come into a project and do that at this point, but I believe they can do it.
Well, they can do it. We're literally stretched over the barrel. We have no choice.
We have to finish.
I'm just venting on the record, I guess, but I just find this very unprofessional and pretty disappointing, frankly. because we're now on the recipients of somebody's oversight. I'm just venting. It's not going to change anything.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And I don't want, it needs to be done. Who's going to do it? We have to pay them. But we have architects, engineers, project engineers, all this stuff. All these people, it shouldn't have even come to you. It shouldn't be here. It should have been caught by somebody before it got to this point, and we should have been made aware of it. Does anybody we're dealing with have, like, errors and omissions? I don't know what else to call it, but some sort of insurance to cover this, to pay this for us? Or do we even have some sort of insurance to see, to pay an oversight that someone missed? Because somebody missed this.
So if they get missed, errors and omissions would be a pretty big stretch, because each one of them are going to blame it on each other.
But it's not our fault.
And we weren't charged for it to be in there, and it wasn't stated in the plan. It just was left off. So I don't know. I mean, he forgot. I really don't know. But the $11,000 and the other $32,000 that we have, it does fall under a contingency. You know, every project has a 5 to 10% contingency. Just unfortunate, we burnt through our 10% of contingencies in two boxes. Things like this do, you know, contingency things do come up. This was a pretty unfortunate oversight that
is costing us. The take home from this is that everybody in the process, including us, needs to do due diligence on these things. And, you know, that's how it goes. But I would, you know, we don't design and build stuff. So I would expect the people that we hire to do that would be on it. So, like I say, this will help me make future decisions about our current risk. All right.
So, Richard, have you heard, we have a completion date, get a new one, or anything for that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I do have an updated construction schedule. It doesn't look like they're going to hit that window either. So we will be, I'll be asking them for a new updated one at the first of the year. I have opened RV park reservations starting March 1st. We can't have it closed for any longer. These guys have to get this project done and have to start moving along. I believe the last construction schedule said completion of January 7th.
They won't make that.
They're not going to make that. So.
Yeah, but so we got to, if necessary, remind them that this is a revenue generator for the port, and every day that it's closed beyond the schedule, we might get.
I have made it quite clear that this is very important to us. And then when I get the next revised construction schedule, I'll be bringing that to you guys so you can see it and have a better look exactly what they're saying, so we can hold their feet to the fire, I think, a little harder.
Thanks, Travis.
Okay.
I had a question on that. Do we have anything in there where they get penalized for not meeting their deadline, for crying out loud? This is income for us as a port, and now all of a sudden we don't have income, so they should have something in there where they get punished for not meeting their deadline, in my opinion.
They do.
Nobody's even done that.
There is that language in the contract. One of the things that we have added to the project was a water line to it that does reflect the extension and the time that it's taken. So that's why with the next revised construction timeline, as long as we're not adding anything new and creating any more work that's added to them, that timeline will be a better one for us to hold them to, as long as we don't add anything else to it.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
Let's deal with it.
Motion to approve contract for Food Curry Electric Service upgrade in the amount of $11,271.54.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Reluctantly.
Okay, that brings us to information items. Do you want to take a quick break while we get this fired up?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Why don't we take five
before minutes? We fire it up, I would think you're in a room.
One offer an option.
Okay.
You don't want to shoot it.
Discuss fairly complicated. I'm wondering if we might consider foregoing PowerPoint, and I can fill it in or show it if you want. Just give you an overall summary, item by item here, and see if there are any questions. Because I wonder if I just wonder if I don't get everybody clogged up in details that I don't want to know. So, kind of up to you guys.
Whatever you like to do, Richard.
Are any of the details going to cost us $11,000 or $33,000?
Jack, could you please use the microphone?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I think we would be served fine just to have a summary.
And then we can...
If it generates questions,
generates questions
and a slide covers it, then we can do that.
Can we still take a break?
Okay.
5 minute break.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm drinking too much coffee. Sorry.
I know, coffee. I'm like, I can't.
Oh my gosh.
I told you guys not to have that many beers before lunch.
Beers.
Beers, margaritas.
If at any time you think a break is warranted, just give my hand and go like this.
Okay.
And I'll take it. I'm going to be a bladder. I can go all day, but if other people need to just get up and move, I can just go all
day. No, I'm just as bad, though.
Right now, this is one, two, three, four. I just want to put in the right spot. I don't want to take something and say, oh man, we should have put it in here instead. I actually think there should be a front door. Like, if you're talking, I don't know where I'm at, but they got a parking lot over here, and they put those buildings here. I personally think it should be a parking lot here. The building's right in front of that, and the people have to go to a front door. That's what I think. But otherwise, they're going to have a gate that's coming through here. And hey, Kenny, can you do this? Or Joe, can you do this? Or John Doe, can you do this for me instead of having a front door?
Tomorrow?
I agree with
you. Okay, that's Jeff got most of it right over there waiting for you. Okay, so.
We might have to put that in there.
It's okay. It'll be easy to do. I just wanted it to be for you.
I still haven't put that in right. I have a feeling that.
Where'd you get this?
I just remember this is the time of year when everybody is traveling around. And
And then before you showed up to discuss the meeting status,
I want to see my mom have a thing.
Oh, wow.
So, way to late start, couldn't tell me there's a lot.
That'll be a good time.
There's a lot, my God.
Well, going.
Well, she said, no, don't.
There's not really a hand.
You're not going to argue with mom.
Right. You should have. Pulling them out and talking to Rachel. But the ones I got, they were late.
That's the time well gone.
I know. They were so big. Once I did that, it knocked me down and up.
Yes, sir.
I used to. But now I feel like. Okay, we'll come back to session and turn it to Jeff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In the effort to not be saying good evening, I'm trying to get down.
Did you speak up all day?
I can't hear anything. Yes, sorry. Thank me. I am not.
I don't know if you're going to get much more serious than what you're to me.
How's that?
Yeah, that helps.
No, thank you. All right. So in an interest to cut to the quick, if you will, on the details, I've created an overview that divides our interests here with the wastewater treatment plant and the FEMA project into four different categories. One of the reasons for that is that FEMA has gone ahead and, after six project managers that we've worked with, they've gone ahead and recategorized our project, FEMA project, from what's called a G category to an A category. What this means, the ramifications of this primarily are that the category A is a debris clearing category and does not come with mitigation. Mitigation is, you know, all the projects that we're doing above ground, not in the water, are the mitigation projects. Now, mind you, the funding is still to date in place. However, it has taken a different form. Fortunately for the port, we have a natural hazard, the FEMA approved natural hazard mitigation plan. Consequently, we can utilize HMGP and dip out of the same DR numbers, the same 4432 and 4452. It has caused us the requirement of recategorizing and resubmitting and showing individually, breaking up each one of these projects into single projects that are of adequate size to be able to be placed in underneath the particular HMGP grant numbers. So if that meant anything to you, what it basically means is they've just gone ahead and made us cut our projects up into little pieces for submission. Business Oregon still honors the fact that this is all in response to the disasters that were declared in 2019. So that's why you see the last two items, FEMA project and HMGP. It used to be just FEMA. But fortunately, we had also set aside some money for HMGP. So they set aside $1.2 million just in one for one project alone for HMGP. So we already have that already earmarked so nobody else could get at it. On top of that, we have approximately $1.54 million that it looks like, according to my last correspondence, will be taken out of the 4452 little vault of money, FEMA money. It's FEMA money in the sense that it's a disaster, to declare disaster. Anyway, the point is that we're still on track. Everything that you see on here, every single item, is in the court right now of the regulators and the permitters, okay, and the fund approvers. If you want to conceptualize it, think of it, what I had to submit to each one of these folks is something like this, like one hand to the other, this big. Their responses now are things like this, sizes like this, where they're asking for clarifications or revisions or things like that. So that's the status overall of where we are on every one of these projects. In terms of the EPA, as you know, the funding that was approved, $3.5 million, there's no question about it, is awarded to the port. The Congress went ahead and delegated it to the EPA. Now, this is funny because the EPA doesn't normally work with private stakeholders. So they're excited because they're getting an opportunity in their minds to really get along and get into and really make it look good. They really want to look good on this one. So they're acting very cooperative. If I write a letter, an email to an EPA person right now, I know you're not going to believe this, but I actually get a response within 2 or 3 days. So that's where we are as far as a relationship with EPA. EPA has asked me for some clarifications. There's a couple of things. They have this really strange way of looking at things as far as the percentages. I think you guys have looked at this before. Is it 20% or is it 25% matching? Well, it's $875,000. That's 25%. Okay, but they call it 20%. Okay, how? Well, it's somehow you add in the percentage, the 20% beforehand, and then, or the 25% beforehand, and then you take 20% of that. So it makes absolutely, for somebody that's had as much math as I've had, it's really not very sensical or correct. But apparently this is a federal award protocol, which maybe they needed to look good on paper, but in reality, it's 25% of the grant, not 20%. The timing as far as the EPA funding process at this point, it looks like, and my goal is to achieve the award prior to March of 2023. That's where we're at right now, and they have estimated that as long as I get all the deliverables and everybody's satisfied with everything soon enough, that's what they're saying is going to happen. The DEQ on the permitting is also favorable for us. They have actually hired and appointed, in one case, hired two officers in the DEQ in the state that actually are dedicated now to these new wastewater treatment permits. They're not happening. They're seeing a trend and they're liking it. So they're very positive towards this type of a process of getting wastewater treatment plants to handle various industrial wastewater problems that are out there around in the state. So they have given me an estimate of about 6 months permit, which for the DEQ and a wastewater treatment plant permit is remarkable. So that's where we are right now. And I am going back and forth with them. They are responding. Yes, it is the Christmas season and New Year's season here, but nevertheless, I got a response to something I wrote to them 2 days ago today. So, and I followed up back to them, and I expect, you know, in the next day or so we are going to iterate ourselves right into having them, you know, fully engaged in getting our permit done. The change in category has not changed our momentum with FEMA, nor has it changed our financial position. I'm actually vying for a little bit more money, but FEMA and HMGP are not designed to deal with inflation. That's one thing that's hurt us from all this incompetence. I will tell you from their own mouths that FEMA is ashamed of the last 3 years. And they take full responsibility for it. So that does, that's a little consolation.
Will they give us money to compensate us for the...
Yeah, I don't think that's the kind of sorrow we're talking about here.
Right.
So at any rate,
they don't do that.
The timing, fortunately for us, when it comes to FEMA work, all this work, it is fully compensated. You know, we don't have to worry about matching, and the work that we're doing is being compensated. And as I think I've already reported to you guys, but I'm going to do it again just to make sure, I think you know that the wastewater treatment plant funding will pay for past expenses back to October 2021. So all the money that we put in, except for two small invoices, that's all I can find, they're relatively small, that are before October 2021. But except for those, all of our invoices are reimbursable. Albeit, remember, that's 75% of those until we go with cost matching. Now, I should mention along the, in the area of wastewater treatment that and funding that, and you heard Travis mention something called a waiver. There are 9 items, some of them census-based, whereby I'm investigating right now the opportunity, and I put it right now 40 to 50% possibility that we can get waivered from the cost matching. In other words, not have to pay it at all. That's what we would like to see, obviously. So I want to keep you in mind about that as well. So with that, I'm done with the overall summary and ready to answer any questions.
I have a question. You're talking to the federal DEQ permit, or?
You mean for wastewater?
Yes.
Well, it's actually the Department of Environmental Quality is state, and they actually manage all wastewater treatment plant stuff. The EPA is the one that are delegated by the Congress to go ahead and screen the money and just disperse it.
Okay. The state has issued Pacific Fisheries, they issued in April of 2022 a permit under the National Permit Discharge Elimination System, 900J, which is what we're requesting.
No, the 900J will not be, if they have submitted them some sort of temporary permit, fine, but 900J will not be accepted by the DEQ for the Pacific Seafood.
The 900, well, let's give it to you.
Yes, they are.
They have a 900J for the wastewater discharge, and it goes until, what, 2025. So I guess my basic question is, if they already have a permit to discharge, what's happening with the equipment they have? Are we incorporating it, or?
What equipment?
Yeah,
what? You're talking about Pacific Seafood?
Yeah.
What they have is a screen.
Okay.
They don't have any issue. But let me read this for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Well, my first thought was that the 900J, they were requiring them to follow the guidelines of the 900J. But this actually states that they are covered under the 900J, which makes me want to understand. I have Renee Nomura correspondence today, okay? I mean, on my email, okay? So, This is fortunate, but I'm not understanding exactly why I'm getting pressure from Renee Namora that they're going to, they could even shut the facility down. So I'm a little confused about this.
I think the only reason
I'm confused too, because they're operating under a permit and they have equipment that meets whatever standard, even though the DEQ standards are changing, obviously.
Currently, right now, they're not meeting the requirements of the 900J. They're getting fined almost on every single discharge that they do. This
how
permit,
can they fine them when they've...
Yeah, I don't know. This is my confusion. I don't know how...
Because with the 900J has limits that you can't exceed, and when you exceed those limits, you're out of compliance with your permit. Which
they knew they were out of compliance when they issued that permit.
They knew they did, and the only reason they
got
this...
This is dated April 13th, 2022.
Yeah,
I've got to look into this. Okay, I've just got to look into it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make any sense with any of the correspondences, any of the requirements, any of the letters. It does not, none of it makes sense. Why are we even doing this? If they have,
I don't know what. So when you dig into this, make sure you dig into correspondence with Pacific Seafood and the port and DEQ, and the reason that this permit... The 900J, they quit doing, they quit even issuing those.
Well, that's what I'm going to see if I have another copy of it.
They quit even issuing those, and the only reason that they continue to issue it is because of the funding that we got for this wastewater treatment plant, and the only way they can continue operating is to be under some sort of permit, and that's the only permit that they had that was still a viable parameters for them to shoot for. You couldn't get another 900 permit, J permit for them at all. But if you look back into what that was, this permit, they weren't even going to issue Pacific Seafood a permit at all because they weren't meeting the discharge quality. But because we came up with the funding for the treatment plant, they issued this, and that's why it's going to expire in 2025. Because if it goes beyond 2025, I doubt DEQ is going to let them discharge at all under any guidelines.
But Ken, I will confirm this. You know, what Travis is saying is you know, kind of along the lines of what I'm thinking, is that they're managing to find a way for them to be able to operate without shutting them down, because they would be required to shut them down otherwise. But I don't know that for sure, and I will follow up on this, and I'll get back to you on this. I'll get back to the commission on this.
Yeah. I'll speculate as a former regulator. My suspicion is that what the state did is said, okay, we're going to issue you this 900J permit. You operate under it. We're going to fine you to document your noncompliance. Whether they'll actually require payment or not, I don't know.
3,000 milligrams per liter of BOD and 2,000 milligrams per liter of TSS is not going to be acceptable, and that's what they're doing right now. So how this is happening, Ken, I can only give conjecture. Because they don't even satisfy it.
That's all any of us can do, but I think there's some sensitivity at DEQ that shutting that plant down would be a big deal. And with us taking affirmative steps to remedy this permanently may be the condition that they said, yeah, we'll do it. And like I say, the fine part, that very well may just be their way of documenting the fact that you're in noncompliance, we've notified you, and that's all a part of the record. Whether they'll actually make them pay or not, I guess, is up to them. But
right.
I'll get back to you here as shortly as I get a response. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
But Ken, thanks for bringing this up.
Any other questions or comments for Jeff? Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, RV park project update.
So quite a bit happened. I know we talked about this already, but for the sake of this, on November 21st, Crow Clay and Associates were out here and completed a site observation, which included going over the layout, you know, confirming the layout of the sites being turned, making sure they laid out within the distances that the plans called out for. We went over cable TV lines and getting them put back to where they need to be. And then also he mentioned that they were going to be putting the broadband conduit inside our same ditch that's running from Gooseberry Box to Gooseberry Box. So this is site observation report number one. Figured it'd be good for you guys to see it, and that's where the approval for that stands. Since then, the electrical inspection has been completed. The engineers signed off on the water line, and I believe they're backfilling it today, that ditch. So,
nice.
And this, when I say backfilling the ditch, it is south of the bathroom.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions?
Comments? No.
All right, let's move us to the letter from C.J. Huntsman.
You guys had a chance to read it?
Yeah.
It's addressed to you guys. I'm not going to really speak too much to this, but if there's any questions or concerns, please let me know now so I can get you your answers. It looks like our audit went really well. The things we put out, the things she reviewed, are very well put together. The court is doing a great job with their audits, their budgets, everything that she reviews. She has pretty good remarks about.
I think you do a good job.
Well, I think that's pretty much what she told us when she was here. But
she can't necessarily tell you you're doing a good job, but if she didn't say you're doing a bad job, that means you're doing a good job.
No, I said they do. We are.
I was glad she actually told us that, because that I don't speak at Calvin. Like I said at the time, I expected an attaboy of some kind, but they apparently don't do that. So, all right. And boy, here we have yet another saga in the story of the mistake.
So this one is kind of a moving target too. What I have here are multiple letters as his mortgage date was coming due. To remind him that we needed a survey, things still need to be approved by the board. I think there's three letters or so that I put in there. Last week on Thursday, I think Rick called me stating that he has a survey scheduled, but the survey wasn't going to happen until January 3rd or 4th. His mortgage agreement does end on the 31st. I did approve him to have the extra couple days for us to get that. I told him we needed the report by our January 17th meeting so the board can make its final decision. Since then, they have sold the crab pots. The boat sounds like it's being sold, the permit's being transferred, and next thing you're asked about is the liens. The liens that we had on it, that when we placed it, the liens were based upon when the boat and its gear was still attached to the SBA loan, and we were working through that, and we had a time where the boat was here without a mortgage agreement, without an actual owner, no insurance. So we put the lien on the permit and the crab pots, so that we would, in the event, had to dispose of the boat, that we would be able to recover some of our costs. After the loan was released by SBA and we committed to a mortgage agreement with Rick on the vessel, and we went with agreements on the crab pots, I contacted our attorney, Jess, who helped us put them on there, and he said that our liens are no longer valid for the original reasons that we had put the liens on. He said, once we have a mortgage agreement, you know, the original purpose of the liens was to protect our interest because there was no owner. Now that we have a responsible owner and a mortgage agreement, that the liens no longer are valid, and that we needed to remove those liens and not be, there is some, I don't know exactly penalties or whatever, but when you have a lien on something and you're holding up a private sale when it should have already been removed, that there can, there could be ramifications back to the port for holding up a private sale like that. So I did get in touch, contact with Jess, who put it on there, our attorney. He reviewed everything. He wrote a letter to ODFNW releasing the lien for the crab, for the crab permit, and the lien for the crab pots. He said just take the paper off and that he will remove that lien on his end. So I'm still waiting on that confirmation from that, but all everything was sent to ODFNW regarding it, so they were able to proceed with their sale. Now that where we're at and we have an owner, you know, we have measures and things in place to recoup our costs in the event that something happens. So that's why the liens were removed. I don't know if this boat's even going to make it to its mortgage agreement. It sounds like there's an owner, possibly set a new owner for the boat set in place. I know they're working on getting things transferred, so tentatively right now we're waiting for the third or the fourth, but the boat may be gone before that, which, best case scenario, at least. If not, we'll wait for the third or fourth. We'll get the survey, and we will be able to look at that survey on the 18th. I did the front letter right here. This letter was reviewed by Jess, our attorney, which was sent to them that states that you know, the commissioner has not yet decided to extend your mortgage. The terms of your original mortgage agreement still remain in effect. And if approval from the board is not obtained, you will still be required to move the vessel under the terms and conditions of your current agreement. So we put that in there because we are going past this mortgage date, right. But it was best to put it in writing and send it to them so both sides clearly understood. Under no circumstances are we lifting the original agreement.
So we have a mortgage agreement in place that they, the current owners have signed.
Yes.
So that would be our legal recourse.
Yes, we have that. We have current insurance, current documentation. Everything they have for us is current. We're just waiting on the current condition survey so we can decide if we want to proceed forward.
Right. Survey.
Okay. I have a question, and I'm going to go back to the mortgage agreement. Back earlier this year, you guys, the board approved the mortgage agreement to be amended to read that a survey would be provided or requested for any new vessel. Any existing vessel would not have to have a survey. So why the change? Because you not only spoke about the Miss Stacy, but you also spoke about the other boat this earlier in the meeting, that the conditions weren't appropriate, whatnot, and wanted a survey on it. So what's the change?
A survey can still be, we can still request a survey on any vessel at any time upon our request, and that's in the mortgage agreement as well. That was added with the same at the same time. That we can request, you know, any of these vessels out that are currently out here, if we deem it to be a potential hazard or getting to a point where the owner, if we don't agree on its condition, the survey is what will determine and give us just more information about the boat to make a better decision. But currently, we can ask any boat at any time to provide us with a survey.
Would a survey concern the operational of the boat? Can it be actually used?
I'm sorry?
Can the boat be actually used? Is it operational?
Which boat?
Any boat.
Any boat.
Is that part of the survey? Is it operational?
Yeah, I mean, it's a seaworthy current condition survey.
Okay.
It's a current condition survey that we're asking for.
Right, well, my boat's parked. It's about sitting right in front of me. I don't remember the name of it now. I think it's called Saint or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's a seaworthy boat.
So the Saint was one of the very first boats that I embarked on because I had the same things. He has had a survey. The boat does start. It does run. It does go into reverse. It does steer, and it can move under the port with its own power. So it meets the requirement. So, and you know, there is other boats on there out there, and I have, you know, I I've listed them in here, and I have some that are ongoing, and I'll continue to be going through them. I mean, there is other boats out there that need to get this attention and show us that they're seaworthy, but I'm trying to make sure we're not overextending ourselves with getting too many people and, you know, getting us stretched out too far. I'm trying to shoot for two boats a month.
Plus, you said, Travis, you're working with them.
The pontoon boat, yes, and that is one of the boats that does have an exception. That boat was built here, was approved to be here, and that's an exception to the seaworthy boats that we have, and that is specified in their file that they have had previous approval to have that boat here.
Okay, let's move on. We're at commissioner's comments. I have one. I'd like to commend you and Brett for your efforts this last weekend with the shoreline. 48 hours nonstop. And that I'm especially appreciative that you worked with Velvet to do the best we could to not impact their operation to the extent we could. But I thought that was a pretty commendable effort that you guys put out.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll admit to that too. Yeah.
It was a rough weekend, but
what happened? I didn't hear what happened.
We had a plug in the sewer line. Zola's, Pacific Ocean Harvesters, and that bathroom all drain into one manhole, and that's in the launch ramp, and then goes across Lower Harbor Road into Moore County. It's about a 200-foot long line with no cleanouts, nothing in its way. And we had a blockage in it that turned out to be 160 feet down the line. All the equipment we have is set up for 100 feet. Emergency responding, the city responding, not going to happen on a weekend. So we were forced to keep up with the wastewater. We have a actual wastewater pump, sewer pump, that's actually meant for boats, that we were able to use to keep that pump down. If we don't keep it pumped down, the backup will come up through the floors and go.
Are we hauling off the wastewater then?
Well, we got permission from Harbor Sanitary that we transferred it from here to a manhole at the RV park, where we were able to dump the totes into a manhole at the RV park. And me and Brent did that for all day Saturday into Monday morning.
Your salaried management, there's no overtime involved.
Right. I know. It was a long weekend.
Ouch.
Anyway.
Brent's licking his chops, but.
Hats off to you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so that brings us to the next regular meeting date, which is Wednesday, January 18th at 2023. And we also now have notice we're going to have an executive session special meeting Friday, January 6th at 10 a.m.
Yep.
That's with the attorneys, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll adjourn.
Goodbye.
Now, I can record Travis saying Merry Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You might want to do an inspection over there. Not seaworthy.